Is this the real LAFC? Finally, we've been talking so much about not scoring goals and what's going on with the offense. One, two, three, four, five. Not too bad,
boom,
baby.
Boom, boom, five. How you like that, Dave? The goal drought is over.
We got a handful of goals to talk about. LAFC getting it done. It sounded a little bit like this.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Hey, you know when LAFC is cooking up, Dave is cooking up on the microphone. That is for sure. Anytime the action gets going, the intensity, Dave turns it up a notch, and we love you for that, Dave.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it, brother. What a weekend. And welcome to LAFC Plus. We'll be diving into it, of course. This is LAFC Plus, the podcast, episode 6. So we're one goal or one episode ahead of the goals over the weekend. So almost matched up there.
Yeah.
Episode 6 already. He is Mario Ruiz. He's the producer of LAFC on the radio. I'm Dave Denholm, play-by-play, and we are the hosts of LAFC Plus. And Mario, what a weekend it was, really. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Really kind of garbage weather on Saturday when we woke up. Well, I get up pretty early, I got to admit. I can't sleep great on game days. I actually was downtown. I went to go get some pizza. This is like, I don't know, 11 o'clock, kind of early for lunch, right? So just to let you in. I go, but I'm slipping and sliding downtown, walking to my pizza place that I like. And it was kind of nasty. But and then I get, oh, this is funny. And then I get a text from you, like, Obosh, you know, like, or whatever you guys are going. And I'm like, yeah, of course. This is only a few hours later after I ate, well, not a whole pizza. I didn't eat a whole pizza, all right? Come on. But, yeah, got to go to Holbosch. So we crushed that, didn't we? What's your what do we go to there? What's your thing? Because your family hits a Holbosch pretty hard, Mario.
Oh, yeah. The lunch special is my go-to all the time. I get the two fish tacos with the ceviche, the mixto ceviche on the side. Oh, and I eat my ceviche with crackers, not tostada. I eat it with crackers.
Okay.
You got to do that. I had a great Saturday. It was a jam-packed weekend. Actually, Friday I went to a concert at the House of Blues of Anaheim, watched a Christian hip-hop artist there, and then Saturday I had to wake up early for the ESPN LA Pickleball Madness tournament, which was rained out. It was rain all morning long. So we were there in the parking lot tailgating with listeners and fans and having a great time. And then once they called it, boom, I jetted out to downtown LA, hit you up. Dave, Holbosch, you in? And then of course, no question from Dave, I'm in, pick me up. So we go to Holbosch and so that is our pregame.
That was lunch number two for me. But, and the funny thing is I was like, I'm talking to myself, right? I'm trying to, trying to watch what I eat. Like, be careful. Like, but I'm talking to myself as I'm heading over there. I'm like, I'm just going to go light because Mario and I always crush that lunch special. It's so much food and it's so good. It's so fresh. But I'm like, maybe I'll just go like a taco or two small, the fish tacos, nothing crazy. Once I got there, once you get the wafting smells coming and just everybody enjoying it.
How can and it's you a go good day to set the tone. There's so many LAFC fans there already, too.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's great, too. You're sitting there next to other, LAFC black and gold faithful. The people at Holbosch, they got the hats on as well, the LAFC hats on. So can't miss with Holbosch.
Here's the facts. If you're not from LA, the next time you go there. Okay. Yeah. Holbosch. Holbox. If you're not. If you are from LA and you haven't been, what are you waiting for? I mean, it's just, you have to go. We look it up. We're not going to tell you where it is because we don't want to get too crazy busy, do we?
Right.
Of course we do. But and they are not like a sponsor of this or anything. We just happen to destroy it every time we go. It's just the best. Like, oh, unbelievable. Get that lunch special. And I don't even know if it's on the menu anymore. Is it like?
I don't know. Actually, I just say lunch special. They know what it is, and then exactly. Boom. I don't even know if it's on the menu. To tell you the truth.
Yeah, we're not gonna hold your hands about this. Okay, you gotta go do it. You're a grown up,
right?
You have to go. That's the bottom line. So this is LAFC Plus, and we are going to talk about this game too, Mario. It was a great day because all of a sudden the weather changed. It was still cool, perfect day.
It was very cool
playing football, right?
It was chilly.
A little chilly. Had to put a little jacket on, but a perfect night for football. Clouds, everything blew out, and it just made it so crystal clear downtown. It just when you're in that booth and you look, as we look at it, you look to the left and see downtown through there. It is just spectacular most times. And that night wasn't any different. Oh, by the way, the performance then matched up, right?
Yeah.
It was as good as Holbosch. That's what LAFC, how they played on that match. And it looked scintillating. You know, I don't use that word very often because it's just kind of it's been overused when it comes to football, but it was just absolutely brilliant football. What was your favorite? I guess what was your favorite goal? Because there was plenty to choose from, obviously.
Oh, wow. That's a tough question because, yeah, there was a lot of good goals. I kind of like the Atuesta goal where he just dove and just slid and just laid there,
yeah.
arms out and just facing the ground while the crowd went crazy. That was pretty cool to watch. But Dave, there's you talk about one word. There's been a word that is often used at training facilities on the training ground or even on the pitch by players and by coaches. It's unlucky. You know, you have a good idea and then you take the shot and then it just misses. And then, you know, the coaches say, great idea, unlucky. That's been kind of like what LAFC been going through the first couple of games.
Sadly,
here, right?
True. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But those times don't last long for LAFC of unlucky because the goals come fast and the goals come by the bunches.
Yeah, so, I agree. And Nashville was just going to be the one that had to take it on the chin. You know, they were the ones that, they were unlucky in a sense because you knew the goals would come and they finally did. And it really, you're right about that in the sense that LAFC have played. Now, they played a couple of bad games, bottom line. I mean, they had a couple of losses that were just not good. But really, even against Sporting Kansas City, I'm not saying they deserve to win or anything like that. Sporting Kansas City played them tough, and they deserve to get the point as well. First game of the year, Seattle probably could have had more goals. You know, it's more about the footballs look very good at times, actually.
Yeah.
It's just that the goals hadn't been coming. But then Nashville's like the unlucky one where everything does work out. And here's one of them here. This is Denis Bouanga with his second goal of the match. He had that PK earlier.
Valencia racing to the 18, cutting it across into the middle. Tuesta leaves it. Bouanga the shot. Goal! Denis, it's two for him and three for LAFC.
Yeah, that felt good. I felt good about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but it was almost a weight off of my shoulders. I mean, there's nothing I can do about them not scoring or winning or losing or anything, but just like, oh man, we need that. We just needed it. And we got everything we needed in that game, Mario.
Yeah, and I want to play the Atuesta goal because that Atuesta goal is where you turned it up and you got on your A game and then you started flipping the Spanish in there. So let's hear that one. That was a lot of fun.
Bouanga chips it in the middle. Header. Goal! It's Edward Atuesta finishing off the run as Bouanga fed it to his head. Brilliantly, it's five. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
I love it. I love it, Dave.
Too much fun, man. Yeah, thank you. That was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And it was just a great performance all the way around. Have to give some praise to the defense, too. I mean, Lloris made one good, really good save, quite frankly. Great save. But that was about it. He didn't have to do much else, Mario. The defense really came to play as well. And we know a lot of guys were missing around the league, you know, international duty. Every team had it. So what? These points count. You got to get the win. And that's
I also
all
saw
matters.
a different hunger and determination from a couple of guys early on from the first whistle. First off, Christian Oliveira was applying so much pressure in his pursuit for the ball. He was a madman. Every time, just trying to win that ball. Aaron Long was out there pouring his guts out. He has been doing that for the past two games now. And then Denis Bouanga, just so relentless, even rocking the post a couple of times in the same sequence, but still ended up with two goals and an assist. So, yeah, it was on for the black and gold.
Yeah, nobody had a bad game by any means, but sometimes you do need to shout out these things. One player who really didn't show up on the stat sheet or anything. I watched the game again, and I thought he was phenomenal, was Mateusz Bogusz. There was a lot of plays where little things in that false nine, where it's not really his position, if you will, normally or whatever. You know, he's still getting used to it, but he had a couple of holdup plays and some passes that began sequences that ended up in good plays, you know, that maybe he doesn't get an assist or anything. Wow, he had a really tremendous performance too. Best he's played all year.
We haven't mentioned Timothy Tillman. Tillman, he got the party started. He got the goal party started.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to interview him in the walk-off interview, and here's a little bit of that.
A tough Nashville squad. How did you guys make it look so easy?
I think, like I said, we were just very disciplined against the ball. Made it difficult for them to just get towards our goal. And then as soon as we were in the right spots, we were just dangerous offensively. So, yeah, that's what was the key tonight.
How do you carry this momentum onto the road next week when you guys go into Colorado?
Like I said, I think now, especially because all of us were on the scoreboard, we're just very confident. And, yeah, we just need to work hard this week. Maybe review the game, analyze what we did good, what we didn't do good, and then, yeah.
Big win tonight, Timmy. Congrats.
Oh, don't. I wanted to go back to that almost. So talk about football fit check. That shirt you were wearing, Mario. Really. You got to talk us through your wardrobe. I want to hear about your, by the way, that was great stuff from you and Timothy after the game. I want to hear about your pregame routine. If you are fortunate enough, not that you ever would be, to drive into a game with Mario, I don't know how that would ever happen for anybody else except for, you know, a few of us. But you end up having to leave him at his car.
Yeah.
Right? Not because he's like dropping you off at the front, you know, gate or anything. I'm going to the same parking spot Mario is after we went to Holbosch. Yep. Then Mario basically says, you can go ahead. I got things I got to take care of here. And so I always have to just go ahead, grab my bags, whatever, all my gear, whatever I need. And Mario, you were in like some, I mean, for lack of a better word, for your standards, kind of a nasty outfit because of the...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was all soaking wet. My socks were wet.
Worse than it is. Mario still dresses at a 9.5 when everybody else is at a 4.
But I was coming out of the pickleball tournament. Yeah,
this is a 9.5 outfit for you, which is kind of filthy. You know, it's garbage. But you looked dressed down, I should say, because of the tournament that got rained out, as you said. But you always change. What's that deal, Mario? Like, I understand. You change at your car before you come in. Now, you look great every game, right? You saw it right there on the interview with Timothy Tillman. If you're watching this on YouTube, you always look sharp, Natalie clad, right? But why don't you just why don't you just dress that way and just show up?
Couple reasons. These are legit reasons.
I'll be the judge of that. Now, I'm asking the questions here.
I'm a busy man. So I often coming from another gig or another, you know, something that I'm doing on my schedule.
Fair.
So I got to change the outfit because I can't wear the suit all day long to some of the appointments that I got to get to. So I carry the suit in the car. And other times, if I am coming from home, I don't live very close to the stadium. I live in the Inland Empire. Shout out to the IE. Anybody from the IE, hit me up on IG, Instagram, Twitter, at I am Mario Ruiz. Respect. But anyway, so, you know, if you live in the IE, it's a bit of a trek to go to BMO Stadium. So
that's
I don't want to get the outfit all wrinkled. I don't want to get wrinkled up. Hang it up in the car. When you get there, either change in the parking lot or go into the stadium and change in the booth. That's how I do.
Yeah. It seems to work for him. That's all I'm going to say, everyone. It works out well for him. What do you think of his hit us in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or some of the places you listen to these on your – let us know. You can hit us up on social media at Talk Soccer for me. Mario is at I am Mario Ruiz. I like his name. So, yeah, let us know about that routine. I just was wondering because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my phone just went off right now. I think I already got some tweets talking about my outfit. But anyway, and I had the wrong colors on, Dave. I had the wrong colors. I had the Nashville colors. It was navy blue and yellow.
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
You're better than that, Mario. You're better than that.
Yes.
It worked out all right, though. Maybe you got to wear that same outfit again, right? I don't believe in luck.
No, because that's kind of similar to the Galaxy, so we're not going to use that.
Oh, yeah, we're not doing that
for the next game.
Yeah, that's true. That's the next home game. You're right. But
Yeah.
Moving on to a part of our history. It's something we like to talk about here. And Danny Musovski gets his first goal for Seattle. Kind of inspired me. But it got me thinking more about our history and Mario. And now we're getting to a point, this is the seventh season. Right, we've had a great run so far. We're getting to a point now, though, where we have a lot of players who used to play for LAFC, right? That's just a part of sports. Like at first, there's a few guys that come and go, but now it's like you're looking around a lot of the league and you're like, whoa, okay, he used to play, you know, we had some time with him and we, you know. So now it's like I started to think, who have been the most impactful former LAFC players? And I want people's lists on this, right? We're going to give you ours. We're going to talk a little bit about it. I have a list. But I could not come up with that third person, right? There's plenty to choose from. I mean, I just couldn't narrow it down, I should say, right, Mario? So we got plenty of guys out there. Some of the names I thought of for third, we'll go up through two and one here in a minute. Chicho hasn't been gone, I guess, long enough maybe to kind of really build up the stats. You know what I mean? Like he's, you know, he's playing great for RSL, unfortunately, but he went to Liga MX. He didn't have a huge impact there. Just didn't work out in terms of getting on the pitch enough. I don't know what they were thinking, but then Beta, obviously Steven Beta Shore, one of our favorites, had a good run with Colorado, played very well there.
Yes.
Cal Jennings doing great in USL. I mean, I think Cal fits very well at that in that league. Of course, he's a big-time scorer. I think he's with Tampa Bay now. He had some success elsewhere in that league. We know Latif Blessing. Talked a little bit about him last week going to Houston. He's had success going to other places. Mark Anthony Kay was a huge part of LAFC for a while. Now he's been with a couple of teams. And Corey Baird. Even Corey Baird we're seeing do very well now.
Yeah.
With a couple of teams. He's actually since moved on again. He's at Cincinnati now, but... So I couldn't come up with a third yet, but let me see if you agree with my first two, Mario.
Okay.
Number two is a guy who hasn't been back that long, but he won the cup, unfortunately, is Diego Rossi, right?
Okay.
Massive player for LAFC. Goes on, does very well at Fenerbahce over in a very tough Turkish Super League. Comes back to Columbus and picks up a MLS Cup, unfortunately, against his former team, us. So...
He scored a lot of goals for us, Dave, and won trophies here with us as well.
Golden boot winner. Incredible. Yeah, incredible
player. Doing it there in Columbus. Yeah.
Incredible player. He might not have, like, hasn't been back long, you know, away from LAFC, if you will. Obviously, I don't consider going to another league. You know, he was transferred. I don't consider that kind of part of this equation that much, honestly. But he did win the MLS Cup. So that's huge.
Yeah,
but I think the number one guy is a guy we didn't see this weekend, and I think it showed for Nashville, and that's Walker Zimmerman. Do you agree with those choices, or is there maybe a little bit different?
It's pretty solid, pretty solid. Walker has been, you know, Defender of the Year two times already. Yep. That is huge. He's one of the few American defenders that are on a DP deal in MLS. Yep. You don't see that very often. You can always count on him giving it his all, acting as a leader on whatever team he is on. So that's a pretty good number one there, Dave.
And the way Gary Smith likes to play for Nashville, they need that anchor, that rock in the back, because they're more defensive-minded. Let's be realistic. You know, that is more of their style. I mean, I know they have Hani Mukhtar who can score and do all that, but they really rely on that defense. And that and kind of locking down teams, and Walker Zimmerman's been a massive part of that, and has had. You know, it's funny, Mario. We were talking about it before. Like, I hate to say it this way, he was only with us for a couple of seasons.
Yeah,
like, he's been gone for a while now. Like, you don't think about
like,
it.
It feels like 10 years ago, honestly, Dave.
Does it really? Because it went fast for me. But he's been gone for like five. This is like his fifth season away. Yeah. Where I still see him. In the black and gold, I got to be honest with you, every time I hear his name. You know,
yeah, I still see him on the UCLA training ground whenever LAFC used to train over there. We used to go there, amazing campus, and I remember talking to him, like, I think in the hallway of, like, a classroom or something like that at UCLA, and do interviews in there. Those are great memories of the inaugural season and those players that were on that roster was Walker Zimmerman, one of our main guys.
Boy, that was a wild time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That first camp at UCLA before the training center was done. Yeah. And, like, everybody is so jazzed to be there. Everybody's
why is it always
so pumped
sky
up.
Blue? It's Bruin blue at the UCLA campus. I don't know how they do that. They managed to paint the sky blue, but, hey, it was beautiful.
Perfect. It always looks perfect on that campus. I don't know how they do it. You're right.
Yeah.
And those campuses are just so, same with USC, they're so idyllic looking. But when we were there, it just was like popping. The sky, everything was just like, the air smelled sweeter, you know, just like, which doesn't usually happen sometimes, you know, in LA, in certain areas, the smog will get you sometimes, but it was just, yeah. And Walker was a big part of that, no doubt. But it, I think it's a testament how good he is, and that I still remember him in the black and gold, you know, because he's now been gone for a lot longer than he was with us, quite frankly. You know, he's a mainstay for a Nashville SC side that, of course, came into the league after us. And they've been, you know, doing very well, no doubt about it. So I think he's my – I can't figure out that third spot.
So you know, he's your number one. Walker's your number one. Who's your number two?
Rossi. Diego Rossi. Winning the cup. Yeah. Even though he hasn't been there very long, you know, he's still got – you know, he's – there's been guys who have played longer in MLS since they left us, obviously. But he's had – that's a big impact to come in and win, you know, because Columbus has done it before. But, boy, they, you know, they played well with him certainly too.
Yeah.
That third spot. I want to talk a little bit about – hasn't been back long enough, if that makes sense.
Like
he's doing well. I mean, unfortunately, again, he's doing well for Salt Lake, but
let's talk about Musovski and Seattle, though, because Seattle is truly in the middle of shifting here into a new era, and things are not looking pretty for them at the moment at all. Losing to San Jose, who's also at the bottom of the Western Conference table, right there with Seattle. They're right there at the bottom. And Seattle, you know, doesn't even have a win so far this season. So we're not used to seeing such a historically, you know, successful club being at the bottom. But they do have a solid player in Moose, Danny Musovski, to go along with Jordan Morris and Rui Diaz. So
let's see. Yeah, but De La Vega is injured. I mean, that was a big blow, no question. But here's the thing.
Big blow, yes.
This is how much I respect Seattle as an organization.
Yeah, totally.
Here's how much I respect them. Quite frankly, if we didn't know that they're such a – this is a garbage team. They're bad.
They're bad.
There's no two ways about it. They're bad.
That's it.
And, yes, De La Vega makes a huge difference. I'm not going to dispute that. We saw it even in a few minutes in the opener. They were a different team when he was out there. That's a big blow. But let's be realistic here. If you're relying on a 23-year-old kid who gets injured, that's going to derail your whole season – when he only had played here for a few minutes in MLS. Again, you have to give deference to the organization at one level that they can turn it around. That's an organizational thing.
Yeah.
The respect is there. This is a garbage team right now. Bad.
Yeah. And it feels weird to even say that, you know?
Absolutely.
Weird to even talk about Seattle in that way. So,
like, I mean, they have, it's world class all the way around, except for what's on the pitch right now. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the fact they play on turf, but we can have that argument for another day. But that's a world class organization, world class fans. They deserve better. You're right. It's a good point, but it's a bad team.
I would have to go with Chicho, Dave, as my number three. I mean,
yeah.
Chicho, my number three. I was really hurt when he left, you know, and I think a lot of fans were hurt as well. He loved being here in LA. The fans loved him a whole lot.
What happened to Liga Mekis, though? That guy should have lit that up. I mean, he just never really gave him much of a, you know. And again, I love Pachuca, you know, but I wasn't watching like day to day how he's doing. Who knows the practice, you know, because. And, you know, Chicho has his own style about things, right? He's his own kind of guy, and maybe it just didn't mesh, because that just happens. Even with great players, sometimes they go to the wrong system or they go to a place where it just doesn't quite click. But
I was keeping an eye on him, and he just wouldn't be in there. He just wouldn't be on the pitch when I would check out the game. So he just moves on to RSL, and sure enough, he already has bagged a couple of big goals against us, like the Chicho that we know when he was here. So,
yeah, that's frustrating. He's too good.
Yeah.
I hate to see it. But I'm going to go next up is the youth movement, Mario. But first, let's actually, since we're talking RSL, I want to talk about this guy as part of the youth movement thing before we get to LAFC, because they had some big games.
Okay.
This Fidel Barajas. You could have put him in, you know, we have the Let Him Cook segment we're not doing today. Could have been him. You know, you can talk about the youth movement, which we're about to with LAFC. This is part of the youth movement in MLS. 17 years old. He turns 18 in like 2 weeks. Holy cow. If you saw this kid play, especially in this most recent match, he's at Vancouver, right? That turf up there, not an easy place to go. I mean, he was dominant. This kid, 17 going on, 27, the way he plays. Two assists, could have had a goal or two. Frankly, a couple of chances that really were amazing. I got to tell you, there's a reason the United States and Mexico are fighting for this kid when it comes to the national team. Because I might be willing to put on the you want to pick like a Mexican broadcaster that represents El Tri? I might even put on some gloves and get in a boxing ring to fight for Fidel Barajas to play for the United States of America, which happens to be my national team. Because this kid is the real deal.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Mario.
When you see a lot of talented kids out there, you see the class and the touch and the path, but do they have the confidence? And that's rare when you have a kid that has everything and the confidence, and you see him out there going after goal, making the right passes, picking up assists, like you said, that is whenever you know you got something special.
And there's a confidence that can lead to some false bravado almost as you play.
True.
Mm-hmm. Not because it's a bad thing necessarily. What I mean by that is false bravado in your play at a certain time where you really can't pull it off yet, but you're such a confident, talented player. You're still young, though, and you can't quite get there yet. You think you can, and you should have that attitude. This kid can. He doesn't have – he just has bravado. He doesn't have false bravado.
Or the confidence to make the wrong decision, instead of making the right pass, you take a shot because you're overconfident. That's another thing.
And again, that's not a bad thing necessarily in and of itself. It's just another little hurdle that a young player sometimes has to get up. This kid is just too good. He really is. Yeah. There's a reason that both national teams need. I'll tell you what. I don't care if this kid's playing at RSL. There's so many U.S. men's national team fans. We won't get into it too much here that you have to play in Europe and cannot play in MLS. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous mindset. I'll tell you what, this kid wants to play for the United States. He can find a spot in my best 11 for the U.S. anytime he wants. I'll take my chances. I'm sorry. I know we got some good players and we got some great players playing a big club. I don't care. I don't if he's at RSL or where he came from, the Charleston Battery in the lower division. Fine, he can play for my U.S. national team anytime, and I'll put him in my starting 11, Mario, and we'll go play anybody we want. I mean, I'm sorry, this guy. He is the real deal. So, and it leads into the youth movement for the U.S. Speaking of real deals, holy cow, for the LAFC.
Yeah.
Well, we saw some performance. David Martinez is another guy who does not have the false bravado. He can just, he fits. My dad, we always talk about my dad. He was like, who is this kid?
I love it. If he's got your dad's stamp of approval,
this guy can play. He knows what he's doing. It just oozes out of the guy with the ball at his feet. And another good performance there. And I wrote down, wow. That's my only note I had for the game as I rewatched it. And the assist, we all saw it. If you hadn't seen it, if you haven't seen the highlights of that, if you're a fan of MLS and you haven't watched, we got a lot of fans of MLS listening to the show, watching it on YouTube. Go see the highlights of that assist he had because so many guys
And
just overcooked that pass just a little bit. And it's not by much, but it has to be inch perfect. And if you overcook it just by a tad, that defender is going to get a foot on it or it's going to go past your, in this case, it was obviously Christian Oliveira making a good play on it. And he had a lot to do. He still finished brilliantly. That was the best goal I've seen him score for LAFC. But that pass has got to be perfect. And it was.
Dave, in my notes, I wrote blockbuster football. David Martinez is blockbuster football. Anytime he has the ball at his feet, you can expect something exciting. He's fast, creative. He's confident. He's also very smart, like we're talking about, for his age. He has one thing in mind when he's on the pitch, going for the goal. But he also knows that he can make the right pass when he needs to, like he saw in that Christian Oliveira assist on Saturday night. But also, Dave, off of that pass, which helped Christian Oliveira score that goal, when he made the pass, David Martinez quickly made the run.
Yeah,
so
just
he
in case.
Made
Absolutely.
The run.
Yeah.
So the defenders are kind of saying, okay, well, David's making the run, but Oliveira has the ball and he has a good chance at goal. So there's a little hesitancy there of, do I go for David or do I go for Oliveira, along with the keeper as well? So that's dangerous right there for, yeah, for oppositions. Yeah,
it's a very good point, because maybe in this case it wasn't the case, but maybe if he makes that run another time when he puts that pass off, it actually opens up a bigger lane to shoot.
Yeah,
just in case, you know, because then it's not a block shot with so much traffic around, or you know, if he doesn't make the run and everything's congested, his defender doesn't know he's not going anywhere. It's a very good point. Very good point. I thought Nathan Ordaz got some nice minutes, and then, oh, by the way, he jumps on the pitch on Sunday, and I was watching, and he scored a really nice goal for LAFC, too.
Nice.
So, I mean, really nice finish. So, good job for Nathan Ordaz just to keep, you know, this guy has just got to, I know he's 20. He should be able to run all day, every day. You know, I get it. He's in great shape, so it's not like, but still got to go out there and perform a day after your, you know, so. And I got to say, I got to give a little shout out, too. He's not been getting a ton of minutes yet because the schedule is just one game a week. So the starters have been, you know, that's basically had the same starting 11, and they're playing a boatload of minutes, obviously, because, you know, you have plenty of Eric Duenas came in. And what I like about him, Mario, I'm starting to notice he's getting to be a little bit like stronger, certainly as he gets older, you know, like he's finally become, you know, he's a kid. I mean, he's a young man. He's just, you know, very, you know, still just growing and everything else, but he's getting soccer stronger on the pitch too. And you can just see it. There's nothing about Eric Duenas that you ever thought, like, he doesn't, you know, not sure if he knows how to play mentally or no, he's always had it.
It's just a matter of finest.
Yeah. Just catching up, you know, just physically a little bit with some of the physicality of it. And he's starting to, and I kind of noticed that. And Nashville's not a team that, you know, anybody would consider a softer, you know, like less physical team. They don't mess around, and he was right in the mix. So that was good to see. I love that. Yeah. Great stuff there. Excellent performance from a newcomer in MLS. All of a sudden, Hugo Kuiper is the big signing for Chicago. I know he had the one goal from the penalty spot, but two straight games now on the score sheet. I don't know that it was like the greatest performance overall, like, but it was just something that stood out to me, because there's no way Chicago Fire are going to go anywhere if he doesn't have a monster year. And it's not all on him, because he's got to be fed the ball and they need more service. But, you know, Mario, if you sign a number nine for that kind of money in MLS.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you just, they have to carry you on the score sheet. You can't just have a guy who's, you know, seven goals and four assists, you know, like you just, no, they're not going anywhere if that happens. So,
Dave, a real dangerous DP number nine is such a special thing to have on your team in MLS.
Yeah,
that is Hugo Kuipers. This guy won the Belgian Golden Boot before, and he's starting to rack up goals in MLS. You better watch out. He's only 26 years old. He's someone to keep an eye on. Luckily, we don't have to face him this year, so we're good.
Yeah. And it's also like you can just see as you watch him that if he gets the service, he's going to score. Like he's not a guy who like you're like, I don't know. He might be good. He might, you know, might not translate to MLS. Maybe. No, I believe even just watching him, you know, what, four or five games that I have, if he gets the service, he puts it in the back of the net. You know, like
he knows what to do with
scouting.
It.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get enough service necessarily because Chicago's got,
that's
got
work question. To do.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be a Hugo Kuiper's problem in my estimation. So around the rest of MLS, Mario, you know, I was watching this. We talked about RSL a little bit with Barajas kind of dominating at times during that game. They come back and beat Vancouver on the road. Big win for RSL 2-1. And it just got me thinking about Vancouver where, and I think you'll agree, they give us fits. This is a team that's hard to beat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But I think they like are hitting that level. And I'm not, again, Vancouver's a fine, you know, playoff type. They have players that are just, you're getting about all you can out of these particular players, if that makes sense. Like, they don't have that next, you know, like they're never going to quite, I don't think Vancouver has the roster right now where they're going to be like, whoa, we could threaten to win the West here. Look out. Because just too many of these games happen to them. Grab a lead, can't hang on at home. Again, not a bad team. Just they got guys on this roster. Some of them, they're paying some good money. They got designated players. Just not at that next level, if that makes sense, right? They're kind of hitting their, bumping their head on, okay, this is who they are at this point. And I don't know if it's enough frankly, I don't believe it is, this roster for Vancouver. Again, doesn't mean they can't cause you problems, because they've caused us problems in the past. But what do you see of Vancouver? Is that how you kind of read this? Like they're good.
They're good.
Anything better than that, you know?
Goalkeeper's good. They always give us fits, even at BMO Stadium. So yeah, I mean, I can see that, Dave. I guess they need a little extra blood in there, something new in there to take them over the hump.
Yeah.
And be a real, real contender, not just a good team that's going to give you fits or be in the middle or just make the playoffs. They need a little something extra to be at the top of, like, watch out, these guys have a chance to come out, you know?
Well, one player who has that, I think, is, you know, we talked about Emil Forsberg joining New York Red Bull. They just needed Lewis Morgan to be healthy. Holy cow, this guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he had the hat trick. I know Inter Miami's missing play. Everybody was missing, as we said. But it's not about just that one game hat trick. Lewis Morgan gets it done. If he's not injured, this guy is for real. Like, kind of reminds me, looks like a little bit like a Casey Affleck, if you look at him. He can be like Casey Affleck could play Lewis Morgan in a movie. Casey Affleck's a lot older than Lewis Morgan. He'd have to, but you'd have to suspend disbelief a little bit. But this kid is a difference maker, no doubt. One guy that I saw that, to me, it's an interesting sign, if you will, is Jonathan Rodriguez, of course, the Uruguayan that we all know from Liga MX, mm-hmm. who's at times lit it up.
Yeah,
Liga MX always scores wherever he is. I believe he won a scoring title down there for Cruz Azul. Goal scorer, no doubt. He comes into Portland now. They got drubbed, but he scores that goal, Mario. Maybe he gets them, you know, gets it going that way at least, even in a loss. Does he really make Portland that much better, though? Where do you see that kind of, like? He doesn't want to be called by that nickname, and I'm going to respect the man, but Jonathan Rodriguez, is that the kind of signing that for Portland?
Yeah, you know, he's the type of guy that also needs the service as well. And if he does get that, he will score. He's been scoring everywhere he's been. Like you said, in Mexico, he scored in his first game in Portland. So I think he's definitely somebody that can help out if the rest of the team picks up and combines with him. But also, Dave, I did want to talk about Lewis Morgan, where he played in Miami, right? And Miami, this has been something that I've been noticing about Miami, is that when there is rotation, sometimes they don't give it their effort, or are they just not that good without some of their main players? I mean, I know Messi's a big guy to not have in your roster in that game, but I mean, the effort just seemed like it was not there at all. And you just can't do that knowing that there's going to be rotation down the line. And that game was just awful. Honestly, it was an awful game for Inter Miami.
Yeah.
And New York Red Bulls, they didn't even have Forsberg, like you said earlier. So imagine if they have Forsberg and they go up against Inter Miami. So it was a pretty decent win for New York. And Miami needs to step it up if they're in a middle of a rotation.
Couple of things here now. You got to remember, though, this was the worst, probably, Toronto FC was far worse last year. This was one of the worst teams in the league before Messi got there, right?
Yes, indeed.
You know, and Messi and Busquets and Alba, great, you know, and now this year, Luis Suarez can go a long way with helping. But this was a bad team before Messi and friends got there. So there's still some work to be done. Now, they've overhauled that roster. I think I kind of tend to believe that was a game where they're missing a boatload of players, not just Messi, not just one or two.
But Suarez was in there, and Suarez was like, he got the ball at kickoff from the ref. The referee handed him the ball, and Suarez was like, are you serious? Like, we're going to play in this rain?
Oh, yeah, it was
like,
he did not want to
be there.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. Yeah, he
didn't want to be there. But, you know, Mario, we talked about it too. There are, like, much like every sport, except for maybe football, the NFL, there are just going to be games on your schedule. You're just going to get beat. And be bad in MLS.
Yeah.
There's 34 regular season games. You see it in every other sport. The worst team in the league goes into, you know, Dodger Stadium and takes two out of, you know, three or three out of four from the Dodgers and pounds them. Doesn't happen often, but it's going to, or you know, the Dodgers lose 6 out of 8 or 7 out of 10. Some, you're just going to have it. Like, and I think it was just one of those games for Inter Miami. I could be wrong. But it was just one of those where one or two times a year, no matter how good you are in MLS, it's just going to get thrown right back in your face.
It was evident on
yeah,
the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and that just, I think that's what happened there. Here's another final question for me. Can LA Galaxy outscore everyone? Because they're going to have to. And they did. They were down 2-0 against Sporting and really had a nice comeback. And boy, at times they look unstoppable, but they also can't stop anybody. So it's going to have to be a 4-3 kind of year for them. And that doesn't usually last either. You've got to be able to stop some teams every now and again. So that's my only question with them. But, you know, they're getting the job done now, and it's going to be tough on April 6th.
Can I answer your question with a question? just like we asked, is this the real LAFC earlier in the episode?
Yep.
Is this the real Galaxy we are seeing right now at the moment?
Well, when you have enough talent offensively, goals are replicable, right? You can score. Mm-hmm. If you're a good enough team, you're going to score some. Now, you're going to get shut out. Okay? I mean, it's going to happen. But it looks like they can do it offensively.
13 like goals, I believe, on the season.
Yeah, they're the top scoring team per game.
They are.
I don't know about, they haven't played as many as, you know, but they can't stop anybody, you know, and maybe it's a piece of the style. Remember, we saw it a little bit with Bob Bradley's style. We didn't win a lot of, you know, 4-0. You're going to give up some goals when you want to push forward. That's just the way it is. So it might not be all, you know, all their defense's fault or whatever, but. Yeah, you were down 2-0 too. Shame on Sporting Kansas City at home, up 2-0, even get, you know, get nothing
can't
out
happen.
Of that game.
That cannot happen.
So yeah, it almost is more of a look to the other team in that sense. I mean,
true.
And the Galaxy are doing all the things they need to get these results, but wow, Sporting Kansas City, that's shame on you, no doubt about it.
And not to look past Colorado for our next game, but next home game is Saturday, April 6th. And that's another chapter there of the L.A. Derby, Clásico Angelino, whatever you want to call it. But best believe, both teams will be more than ready for this one.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a very good game, no doubt about it. I'm already looking forward to it. But you're right. No stepping over any team in MLS because that's when they'll bite you. It just somehow happens that way. So LAFC have only to get ready for Colorado. And speaking of which, that matchup's coming up on Saturday. By the way, 12:30 p.m. Pacific for the pregame. If you want to listen to us, our work on 710 ESPN and the ESPN LA app, 1:00 also on Apple TV, the MLS season pass if you want to watch it. Our audio is only available on that for the home matches. This is a road game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Colorado. Commerce, I think it's called. Commerce, Colorado, wherever they're at. So, yeah, not an easy task. Always tough up in that altitude. Let's not look ahead to anything but winning that match, right? Absolutely. Mario, episode 6 in the books, man. It flies by, brother. Just great stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully LAFC can build off of that 5-0 win, you know, last Saturday. Have a good performance in Colorado. Get a result out there because the next one is the big one, and you got to have that rhythm heading into that. So let's see what happens in Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go black and gold. Thank you for joining us. Again, if you want to leave comments wherever you either watch it on YouTube or if you're listening, you can hit us up on social media as well. I'm at Talk Soccer. I am Mario Ruiz. Feel free. We love it. We love all the comments and all the stuff. And the show's going great. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.